Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Federal aviation investigators now on scene of that deadly mid-air collision in Washington, D.C. All 64 on board the American Eagle jet and three Army soldiers on the military helicopter died. The NTSB in its briefing says they haven't recovered the black boxes yet.
Right now, the focus is on recovering bodies. Sources say dive teams have recovered all of the bodies they can reach without lifting the wreckage of the Black Hawk and the jet out of the water. NTSB board member Todd Inman.
There are still ongoing recovery efforts involving the fatalities involved, along with some debris is coming out as well. We will make sure that that perishable evidence is maintained.
NTSB investigators say despite a demand for answers, that the investigation will not be quick, and it will take a substantial amount of time to know why the crash happened.
ABC's Alex Stone. Six of the victims on the American Eagle flight were returning from a figure skating training camp in Wichita, Kansas. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The American Lung Association has released its State of Tobacco Control Report, and Wisconsin received mostly failing grades. Wisconsin received three Fs for access to cessation services, availability of flavored tobacco products, and tobacco prevention and cessation funding. The state also received a D in state tobacco taxes, but did receive a B grade for its smoke-free air laws. According to health data, tobacco is the number one cause of death in Wisconsin, with more than 7,800 people dying each year. Nationwide report cards released on Wednesday found Wisconsin students above the national average for test scores, but also showed a large gap between white and black students. Fourth and eighth graders across the state scored a couple points above average in math and reading, with eighth grade math scores being the third highest in the country. However, black fourth graders scored 47 points lower in math and 45 points in reading, and 50 points lower in math and 39 points lower in reading for eighth graders, the largest gap in the country. The Salvation Army is looking to use tiny homes as transitional housing for the unhoused population in Barron County. Officials say the organization received a donation of two tiny homes ready for occupants, which sparked the idea to create a tiny home community. The organization had previously attempted to convert a former nursing home into transitional housing after purchasing the property in 2021. Long-term construction issues forced them to abandon that project. They now plan to use that land for the tiny homes. A yearly event in Bayfield is set to return this weekend as officials anticipate a bounce back in attendance. The 19th annual Ashwaubay Summit Nordic Ski Race is set to kick off on Saturday with a 15K and 30K event available for skiers. There will also be a 3.5K race for middle schoolers and a 7.5K race for high schoolers to kick off the day. Event officials say last year's turnout was disappointing thanks to the unseasonably warm weather and overall lack of snow, but they're expecting a much larger turnout for this year's event. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Badgers fall to the Terrapins.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A Big Ten matchup in men's basketball ending up in a loss for Wisconsin as the Badgers fall 76-68 to Maryland. Head coach Greg Gard on what happened.
You know, against a really good team on the road, you obviously have to take care of the ball, which I thought we did a much better job the second half. And then you've got to be able to make some plays and make shots. You know, credit to Maryland in terms of they made things more difficult for us.
The Marquette Golden Eagles are the ninth-ranked team in the nation. They're getting ready to host number 25th-ranked UConn Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Head coach Shaka Smart on what he looks for in a recruit.
We value three things: relationships. Number two, we value growth. We get these guys during a very formative time of their life. They're between 18 and 22 years old. If you're not growing, there's a problem. And our third core value, very simple, victory. We're here to win. So absolutely, we want people that value victory.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper 20s, and more sun, but not as warm tomorrow, high upper 30s. Breezy and cooler Saturday with some snow showers.
A mixture of sunshine and clouds into Sunday, highs in the low 40s.
It's 46 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday, our Week in Review panel, a mix of journalists and an attorney, because we need one to track the legal minefield put in place by the Trump presidency.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Got Erin on the board. Just PS promises she'll be back on the job on Monday. Also, James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, the Law Review, joining me till the 6 o'clock hour when Pete Schwab and Nutlake comes up next. We're going to conclude the conversation here on this horrific plane crash in D.C. One other thing I want to throw out there before we get back to the phones, and thank you folks for being patient, 855-75-CIVIC. Staffing at the air traffic control tower at Ronald Reagan National Airport was, quote-unquote, not normal at the time of the deadly late-night crash between the passenger jet and the Army helicopter that killed 67 people. An internal report reviewed by the New York Times said the controller who was handling helicopters at the airport's vicinity on Wednesday night was also instructing planes that were landing and departing from its runways, jobs typically assigned to two different controllers. So there's that. And let's just say, and you know, staffing's a thing. Staffing in that role, very important, obviously. And tragically, it didn't work out this time. But this is under, let's just say it, this is the Trump administration. And maybe, as some of these texters say, well, what's Duffy supposed to say? He's been on the job for 2 days. Well, you know what? That's the job.
It is.
And
it
what is he supposed to say? Well, I think Jim and me and some of the other folks articulated very well, Mark from Sussex, have some sympathy. Talk about the humanity. We don't know the facts or are not ready to prepare to present them cohesively. Talk about the tragedy. Talk about the efforts that are being made. And have some love in your heart, man. Don't blame Pete Buttigieg. Don't blame the Biden administration or Obama. And certainly don't say those things as Donald Trump did. And then Duffy gets up behind and says, well, what do you say? We're not going to pass the buck. Well, good thing you're not going to, because your boss just did.
It should not have happened.
It should not have happened.
That's the physics lesson from
Thank you for that. Great. Well done. 855-752-4842. Eric, we know you had your shot, but stick around. We'll get you on the other side. Let's throw some other folks up there. Cam from Appleton, you are up. Welcome, sir. What are your thoughts today? Hello, Cam.
Oh, hey.
All right.
I thought you guys
had the other gentleman. Oh, hey, there you go. All right. Hey, Cam, welcome. What do you got?
I thought you guys were revisiting the other gentleman before the commercial break.
Yeah, we're going to put him off a little bit. Go ahead, Cam. You go.
Sweet. Thank you. If you want to talk about common sense, people having common sense, common sense would have told me he would have made a bad president because he bankrupted 3 casinos. Common sense would have told me that his skank wife being buried under his golf course as a tax incentive so the golf course can be taxed differently is not morally right. Common sense would tell me that he gets up every morning and puts on his clown makeup to get in front of the cameras and spew more nonsense, would tell me he's just not a great public speaker and probably not a great person. I don't know what else. What are we supposed to say? Because this everything has been sane-washing. Everything, like, the bar keeps getting pushed. We keep trying to say this is nonsense, this isn't cool, that's not great, but then no action is taken to get him out of there. We had 4 years to get rid of him and lock him up.
Get him out of there, Cam. Come on, they just got him back in. This is, I mean, to your point, Cam, and thank you for the call. Thanks for hanging out and being patient with us. It is common sense to know what the reaction of Donald Trump will be in the face of any tragedy.
Right.
It will be inappropriate.
There will be more, whether it's weather-related, whether it is human cause, yep. There'll be more tragedies. There will be more airline tragedies. Hopefully not nearly this catastrophic, but any death is lamentable, right? And to Cam's good point, we knew all of those things about Donald Trump in the early days of November, right before we elected him, admittedly by 49.8% of the voting population. But all those things that we knew about his history, his bankruptcies, Trump University, the stakes, all those kinds of things in the past, we knew about all of those things. And we said, again, to use the expression that we're invoking now, common sense should have told us this is not a man who should occupy the presidency. It did not.
It told some of us, and some of those that voted for him. I mean, I'm curious, and I know some of the texters out here are like, what is he supposed to say? Well, again, that's the challenge. It's a difficult job. Right. You know, you're supposed to dig deep and act like a professional and act like you give a damn about people and not passing the buck and passing the blame and talking trash, because that has nothing to do with the families that are grieving because of this accident.
And you're 70 years old. You're not 7 years old being called upon to give a speech in front of the entire assembly of the grade school, right?
Yeah.
You've been in these situations before. You've been in these situations constantly. Every single day you're called upon to articulate things. Again, words fail me in trying to understand why it is. And maybe there are those people who are just pulling their hair out, who are giving him some of the language that all he needs to do is repeat and say out loud. And he presumably chooses not to, or maybe he has told them already, I don't want any of those literary flourishes like the surly bonds of earth. I don't want that. I'm going to go in a different, maybe that's the message, is bad and sad for our nation.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Some of the texters, here's the one from the 414. The entire Biden regime is to blame. You always try to shift from that. Come on, man. And then he follows up with the funny how the POTUS doesn't fly airplanes. Listen, Biden created these messes. Only Trump can get us out. Man, dude, you are so off base. Biden created these. What exactly mess are you talking about? Biden fired or chased out the FAA? Biden's the one that sent out the memo to fire all the federal employees, including the those folks that are working in the airports. Biden did that? No, Biden didn't do that. That was all done under Donald Trump. This is the Trump administration, period, full stop. Now, I know there's some, like, legacy things. Like, I always look at, like, the economy. Well, did you inherit, quote-unquote, an economy? And Joe Biden did not inherit a good economy when he came in, and Donald Trump did inherit a good economy. Again, you can talk about the edges and define good in your own way. But that's my basic point, is there are some legacy things that stick over to the next administration before they can get their hands in and do their changes. But we know what the changes are. Firing people. They fired people. And to the, one of the commenters, one of the journalists writing, if this were the black woman president who got into office, fired a bunch of people, and then there was a plane crash with army helicopter, they'd be freaking out about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, a collateral point as we think about legacy and the things that presidents do. One of the things that I suspect many Americans, I like to think most Americans do appreciate this, many Americans don't appreciate this, Joe Biden was able to pass something called the Inflation Reduction Act. It's got a bad name because it sounds like you're addressing an economy. Really what it did was infrastructure, right? Yeah. And those are the kinds of things that, again, it probably is unrelated to this particular horrific, terrible crash that happened. What did Joe Biden think about in terms of legacy far beyond his own term in office? He said, you know what? Let's rebuild. And let's just talk about transportation since that's the issue of the day.
Sure.
Let's rebuild the bridges that carry our trains. Let's rebuild the highways, the on-ramps, the off-ramps. Let's revisit and rebuild the shipyards and the ports, all those kinds of things. That's investing, and we're not going to see the results of that again for years, but they're already underway. That's the legacy of a president who's concerned about these things, so again, who recognize that there's some infrastructure things, and also Joe Biden and other presidents before this one also spoke about the highest, the most important commodity that we have in government. It is human beings. And you get rid of them, you get rid of the people who know what they're doing, and you diminish the effectiveness of government, period.
855-752-4842. This is the Dom Salvia Show. That is James Santel. He hosts his own show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network on Saturdays 9 to 11 a.m. Check him out. We always love it when you come around, Jim. Let's get back to some of the callers here. Let's go. Mike from Muscadet, you are up. Welcome, Mike. What are your thoughts today? Hello, Mike. No, Mike? All right, man. Try us again, Mike. Sorry, man. We just dropped you off. Give us a call back. 855-752-4842. Kurt from Madison, you're next. Welcome, Kurt. What do you got for us?
Yeah, there's a guest that's on another show. He comes on quite often, and he always speaks about narratives. I think the narrative that we have to start using right away is our mentally compromised president is making bad decisions. That is a narrative that should be used over and over and over again. Mentally compromised president, because that is what this person is. He's severely mentally compromised. And he's surrounded by individuals.
Kurt, thanks for the call, man. I can't say that, man. And number one, there's people that actually have real problems that I don't want to distinguish between. I mean, the man is obviously able to go up and maybe tie his shoes and put on his clothes. Perhaps he dresses himself. I don't know. I'm not going to get into what his mindset is or whether he may have issues or not. What he certainly is to me is a narcissist who has absolutely no room in his heart for any empathy or situational awareness other than political and saving his own ass and winning his one personal battle, whatever it is in his head at that given moment, any given day. And right now, or at least what I'm seeing from today, was his natural reaction as the narcissist to deflect, deny, and try not to take any sort of responsibility whatsoever, as this is his government. And I get it. He's only a few days in. Okay. Yeah, and he's did a bunch of executive orders, the most powerful, strong president ever. And we hear these Republicans saying Donald Trump's done more in 1 week or 2 weeks than Joe Biden did in 4 years. Okay, well, if that's the case, let's assume that's the case. And why isn't he focusing, I don't know, like on air safety?
Absolutely. Why isn't he focusing upon the word that he used a lot, which is groceries, right? And I guess gets off the point of today, which is about human loss.
Yeah.
But one wonders, again, in the category of the shiny metal object theory, that by talking about this and, again, changing the focus of this from the humanity that should be and diverting once again to this DEI issue, which is a complete non-starter, once again, there is some purpose behind this. And that the narcissism of him also prompts him to throw that shiny metal object out there for people to consume.
Well, lots of purposes. One of them is, as you talk and as they misinterpret the point of DEI and working with multicultural groups and different ethnicities. And what'd you call them? Different people have their own
immutable characteristics. Is the word of the afternoon.
Yes,
right?
It certainly is. It is to divide and conquer.
Yes.
And that's we cannot put that aside. Of course, that is the point. Divided people cannot stand against that kind of money. Folks, be united. Come back with us. 855-752-4842. Going to take some more of your calls on this topic, and we will move on to other topics as well. Like, I don't know, Judge Brad Schimmel. Stick around.
Wait a minute. How did this happen? We're smarter than this.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. an immigration attorney I talked to told me, we're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one. My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Fleet.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk, Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Southie Show, 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. It's a talk phone line. It's a text line. You can join either way. Callers, don't we get the preferential treatment, though? But, Jim, you always get preferential treatment. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, sticking around with me today. Let's get back to the phones.
Very good.
All right. Let's see. We have L.A. Tom on the line. Welcome, Tom. What are your thoughts today?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, welcome, Tom.
Your phone's got a problem. Okay. First of all, how hard would have it been for him to say, we, the people, are hurting today, and that means all of us?
Hear, hear.
Yeah.
Second,
very simple.
I would recommend everyone read The Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein. I also want to say happy birthday to the best president ever, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yeah, FDR's birthday today.
And Dom, absolutely. And Dom, I have a suggestion. Behind you there, where you're sitting, have like a little calendar, a little ticket thing that says 67 to start today. But start counting the number of lives, because it wasn't something we did so well with the million lives that we lost to COVID. But start putting up a number each day of the number of lives that are actually lost under Trump 2.0. Because I think that would be pretty interesting to see each day when you tune in on YouTube or however it is that people find you.
It's kind of morbid, Tom. I don't want to do that, man. Keep track of the dead. Bring out your dead. No, right. Tom. Listen, thank you as always, and thank you for reminding me. Harvey K. would be proud. Happy birthday, FDR. Tom, our favorite New Deal Delano Democrat.
Right. I thought Tom was saying lies, and we know that those are calculable, right? Yes. The New York Times has done a great job of identifying those, and at some point you lose count just because it's so difficult to keep track. Yeah. But those you can identify, and it's a very impressive in a bad way to see the whole stretch of those.
And I'm not, as we read some of the reporting, other journalists lamenting how the Republicans would react if this was happened, this tragedy that happened under President Kamala Harris, for example. And I'm not blaming Trump. I'm not. I'm just pointing out, number one, his response was terrible. I mean, absolutely terrible. I can't imagine.
Unconscionable.
Just come on. Number two, this is his administration.
It is.
This is his, that army, that helicopter, that's his Pentagon. Pete Hegseth was his guy. This is his transportation. This is his administration, right? And right. And while I'm not saying any of those folks pressed a button or turned the plane wrong or didn't move the helicopter up or down or stop it like Trump's rambling excuses, that they did not cause that. But they are in charge of this. And this reaction was amateurish. It was insulting. I cannot imagine if I had lost a family member in that plane, what I would be reacting when I hear the president of the United States blaming Pete Buttigieg for this.
Absolutely. I think back as I listen to you, Dom, and listen to your callers as well, about an attorney general for whom I worked many years ago. Her name is Janet Reno. And this is somebody who had, during her time in office, the Murrah Federal Building. Remember this? Mm-hmm. The bombing in Oklahoma City. She had Ruby Ridge. She had Waco as well. And you know what she did? And again, I know that people with respect to some of this can talk about law enforcement and sure. what you did or did not do. You know what she did? She stood up to Congress. She stood up to the American public. And she said, number one, I'm crestfallen beyond words by the loss of life in all of these areas. And she also said that I can do more. I should do more. And frankly, with respect to Waco, she even took responsibility for some of the decisions that were made about personnel and about the role of law enforcement going in when they go in and decisions that she made about bringing that situation down. Same thing with all kinds of things. You know what that is? That's called leadership.
Yeah.
That's called leadership when you identify the bad things that you did not cause in the end, but nonetheless for which you're responsible, as you just said, Dom. And you also say, I'm taking responsibility because that's where I am right now, and I'm going to do those things to as best I can. Can I promise you a perfect future? No. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to remedy this future. It's not what Sean Duffy said today. It's not what his message was. It's a message of leadership and caring about people and being responsible to the American population.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvi Show. That is James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus Law Review Saturdays on the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 to 11 a.m. Let's get back to the lines. Wisco Paul, you're up. Welcome, Paulie. What do you got?
Thanks for taking my call, Dom, and nice to hear Jim. Hey, if I want to blame one person in the Biden administration who didn't live up to his job, it would be Garland. He just...
You should know, Paul, that the Dom is smiling broadly right now. No, yes,
right with you, man. I think Jim's here as well.
Well, he's a nice person, but he just didn't do his job as forcefully as he should have. And the other thing I want to mention today, I listened to the Trump press conference. I didn't get a chance to see it on TV, but if anybody was listening or watching that, and if they didn't come away with the impression this guy is god awful, then I can't help you, because it's just bad. You just blew away all these mourning people that lost. I can't even imagine if one of my friends or relatives would have been on this airline and it basically blew up midair, and Jesus. I mean, that's just, as far as I'm concerned, his presidency ended today with his news conference. In fact, he even had to swear at Pete Buttigieg. So that, I'm getting out of here.
Thank you for cutting short there, Paulie. Thank you so much. Thank you for not swearing like Donald Trump did today.
Yes, yeah.
Saying that Pete Buttigieg is a BSer, basically. Right. And Pete is a smart, articulate, expressive, verbal guy.
Exactly.
And can talk circles around a guy like Donald Trump. Of course, that makes Donald Trump very, as a narcissist, he's very insecure for all the reasons that he should be. Couldn't hand it. And you heard in the tone of his voice, we played the clip in the last hour, Pete Buttigieg, you know how he says the names. Right. He's just
and
terrible.
He sort of mispronounces it in his own perverse way. And again, through tone, conveys the sense that in the end, I cannot stand this man because he's better than I am in every way. See? That's what he's really conveying.
Oh, hey, put that back up there, Aaron. I want to read that. What Trump is really saying is Pete is a diversity, equitable, and inclusion because Pete is gay. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Tom, for that. There is that part as well. Right. Folks are listening to the Dom Salvi Show. James Santel coming back on the other side. More of your calls. We'll continue the conversation as long as you want to keep doing it. And we will get to some of the local politics as well. The judge running for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We'll talk about that as well. Stick around.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A pair of state Republicans have introduced a bill that would limit what flags are allowed to be flown at government buildings. State Representative David Steffen and State Senator Eric Wimberg introduced the legislation, which would only allow the U.S. flag, state flag, POW/MIA flag, and the official flags of the armed forces to be flown at the sites. If local municipalities wanted to fly another flag, it would require a 3/4 vote from elected officials. Critics say the proposal is meant to target the Pride flag or Black Lives Matter flag. Weeks after the shooting at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, state Republicans are proposing a bill that would allow teachers to carry a firearm on campus. The legislation would only allow teachers to carry a firearm if their local school board adopts a policy approving it. Republican leaders say they are unlikely to support increased gun control measures proposed by Governor Tony Evers, like stricter background checks and red flag laws. The bill would also make it easier for those teachers to obtain a gun license. A former school in Superior could soon become an affordable housing complex. City officials are pursuing a plan to convert the former Lake Superior Elementary School into an affordable housing complex featuring 50 units. The move comes less than a year after the school was permanently closed due to budget constraints. The Redevelopment Authority has committed $300,000 in grant funding for the project, and the city's Affordable Housing Fund has committed another $500,000 in development loans for it. The Rice Lake City Council has terminated a contract to convert the downtown Rice Lake Heritage Manor into affordable housing. At their meeting this week, the City Council directed the city attorney to inform Move-In Out, the nonprofit handling the renovation of the former nursing home, that their contract to convert it into affordable housing would be terminated. The city also agreed to buy back a property that Wild Daisy LLC had planned to turn into an 8,000-square-foot event center after the company decided against pursuing the project. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Most people probably remember MTV's Tom Green Show in the early 2000s. According to the New York Post, the host comedian, who also acted in the awful Freddy Got Fingered, left Hollywood in 2021 and now lives on a farm in Ontario, Canada. Green says it was the best thing he ever did because he is not a Hollywood guy. Green has a new documentary called This is the Tom Green Story you can check out on Amazon Prime. Not sure if Timothy Chalamet is getting a taste of the proceeds from resurgent Bob Dylan songs, but it sounds like he should because he's the one resurging. Chalamet plays Bob Dylan in the Oscar-nominated film A Complete Unknown and hosted Saturday Night Live last weekend while also appearing as the show's musical guest. The Oscar-nominated actor played the song Tomorrow is a Long Time, one of his personal favorites. The song did not even appear in the film, but is at number 63 on the iTunes Top 100. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper 20s, and more sun, but not as warm tomorrow, high upper 30s. Breezy and cooler Saturday with some snow showers.
A mixture of sunshine and clouds into Sunday, highs in the low 40s.
Currently, it's 44 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll discuss with Sandy Williams of the direction of our nation under President Donald Trump. Talk with Bob Amsterdam about the Ukrainian Orthodox Church.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings, 8 till 10.
Dancing on the
And welcome back to the Dom Salvi Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review, sticking around till the top of the hour. Thank you, Jim, for doing so. Your callers are being very patient. We will get to you now, 855-75-CIVIC. And then, don't forget, last segment of the day. Jess would be so proud. Thank you for reminding us, PJ and Aaron. Got to tell us something good. Tell me something good. Want to hear something good. End the day on a positive note. Tell us something good. 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to wrap up this conversation, this segment, and we're going to get to some of that sound of Brad Schimmel talking about bloody civil war. I want to get your thoughts on that, counselor. But in the meantime, let's talk a little bit more to our audience. Mark from the SAC, you are up. Welcome, Mark. What are your thoughts today? Thank you for being patient.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. You think that the president's staff would actually have a speech to pre-prepared for something like this? Fill in the details, just to give Aiden, some comfort to the American people, and maybe toss in, the biblical reference because they seem to be so fond of that. I'm amazed that Pete Hegseth and little Shawnee Duffy couldn't come up with something like that because they wrap themselves in the cross and the flag all the time. That it's just sad that Donald Trump does not have the humanity to deal with a situation like that. He simply does not care. If it does not benefit of him directly, it simply does not matter to him. I mean, and I can throw our senior senator Ron Johnson in that as well, because he made an equally heinous little statement when he's on with Maria Bartiromo today that I actually called in and criticized Senator Johnson to his office. And it's just disgusting that these men cannot figure out the fact that they are no larger in charge, and everything that happened subsequent to, Donald Trump getting inaugurated on Monday last week, that he is now in charge. And everything that happened, and so what happens if it was because, cutbacks took place immediately at that airport, and the person that wasn't, and I'm just speculating here, what if they cut it down to one person? They said, we ordered this just to be one person sitting there, that we don't need two people there working those things. What if that was investigation shows? I mean, I'm not making any definitive statements, but we need to hear what the investigation says rather than this blabbing out there that's Pete Buttigieg's fault or Joe Biden's fault.
Exactly. And Mark, and that's the point. The facts are not known. I mean, we saw the video. We know what happened. I mean, we can see that part of it.
67 people are dead.
Right. Yeah. We can work back from there. But, the devil certainly is in the details, Mark, and that would be the wise thing for administration to do, is to reflect on the human loss, support or encourage folks, or let them and let them know that we're working on it, we're on it,
right.
And we'll follow up on it. In the meantime, hug your loved ones.
Discourage the disinformation that regrettably is already out there. Some of the conspiracy theories that, shockingly, are a part of our social media as well. And invite that day when we come back and talk to you about exactly what happened here. But in the meantime, be a human being. That's all we're asking of you, Mr. President. Yeah. And, the other part of this, historically, we know that when these things happen, when Sandy Hook happened, for example, and Barack Obama shed that tear, thinking about his own daughters and young people across the country. Yeah. What happens is that for a brief time, anyway, we don't put aside politics completely. But you know what? The ratings, the poll numbers for presidents tend to buck up a little bit,
and
maybe inappropriately, but nonetheless, we do, because we want to come together. We want to share this loss together. That's what good presidents do, whether FDR or Barack Obama. I'll throw Bill Clinton in there. I'll throw Jimmy Carter at the top of that list.
George Bush, after 9/11,
absolutely
had the best ratings of his presidency.
Absolutely.
Because everyone put that stuff aside for a moment,
because
of course that's the point.
Right.
But these guys, Donald Trump specifically, and I'm not saying that Hegseth and Duffy don't have empathy with them. I think their poor performance today was not indicative, I don't think, of a behavioral issue like Donald Trump has. I just think they're not right for the job.
Right. And they're also presumably told, this is the message out here. We don't want to hear any of that because, when, number one, you'll upstage the president. If you, in fact, express something about the humanity, the loss here, caring for other human beings, caring for Americans and others on the face of the planet who are lost here today, right, that'll be some of the lead, and it'll be in contrast to what our president says. That may well be their instruction to say, you do not go down that road.
Well, they know the instruction, yes, right? It's to make the boss look good. As Andrew from Maine texts in, I thought the default response was supposed to be the buck stops here. I mean, it used to be. Right. But, I mean, when's the last time you ever heard Donald Trump take responsibility for anything? Ever. Unless it was the most glorious thing that ever happened. The FAA's been demolished to points we've never seen before. Like, that kind of just general
right.
BS statement. I mean, come on, people. You put your BS meters back on. 855-752-4842. A couple more callers on this. Brian from Milwaukee, you are next. Welcome, Brian. What do you got for us?
Hey, thanks for taking my call again, as always. It was interesting because earlier today I saw on Facebook a statement made by President Biden about last night's tragedy and a statement by Vice President Harris. And it's just night and day difference. Yeah. How would they have handled the situation? And as you stated, you know, a few minutes ago, think about how, you know, I start thinking about how Bush handled the situation when I was in high school during 9/11, when mm-hmm. that happened. And then, you know, a few minutes ago, I was looking at photos of them scrolling through Facebook of the family members in Boston, you know, on that skating team. What the world are they thinking right now? And the pain and suffering they're going through. And that's the best that our president can say to them is point the fingers and blame it on someone else or something else or DEI or whatever. Instead of saying, that's so sorry exactly for your loss.
You can't even do that. Brian, thank you so much for your observations, man, and for listening and hanging out with us. The reaction for Donald Trump is to blame the previous administration, to blame DEI, which is what they would consider as what I'm reverse discrimination, I don't know, against the white folk is what they would say. And they'll blame it on the gay former transportation secretary. I mean, it is. You can't even get through a press conference without being just a POS.
It's incomprehensible, candidly. It's incomprehensible that any human being would do this. It is a reason, frankly, for all Americans, regardless of who you voted for in November, to look seriously and say, oh, my goodness, this is my president. I know he's not your president, Don, but I always say this. He is our president.
He is the president, right?
He is the president.
I take no ownership, but I do acknowledge he's in the office.
Exactly. And to look at this and say that maybe because of his reaction to this, is it too much to say that when he reacts to other things or says other things that at a base level or superficial level, wherever, however you describe it, are patently untrue, patently false, are completely contrary to, again, the common sense that all of us had? Maybe it's time to reject him and, again, to put him in a box, a category of simply refusing to believe, regrettably, what the president of the United States of America says to us. That's what it's come to.
You know, the family's obviously dealing with their losses, and I just would love to be a fly on the wall if that ever came to point, like, hey, here's what your president, the president, mm-hmm. had to say about this tragedy, what right. their reaction would be.
Right.
What would
he say at a memorial service, right? Barack Obama singing Amazing Grace, right? Can Donald Trump ever pull off anything like that? And again, all this sounds very superficial because, as you just noted, it's all about the families. It's all about the victims here. And all the more reason why desperately 2025 and beyond, we needed a president who could articulate these basic human things. And we don't have that. We do not have that.
But we've got James Santel. You do a hell of a job yourself. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salve Show. That's Jim Amicus, a law review. His show plays out on the Civic Media Radio Network on Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. Let's get back to the lines. Jeannie from Eau Claire, you're up. Welcome, Jeannie. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one of Mr.
Nice.
Santel. Outstanding, just like being in school. Outstanding job, sir. Yeah, I just wanted to say one quick thing, and that is this man is incapable of feeling any compassion. You have watched him He has never shown any empathy, sympathy, caring for anybody, including his ex-wives, his wives, his children, or anyone. And that is a scary thing, because we need a human president, one who cares about the people and our country and the world. So thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. We appreciate it. Bye.
We appreciate thanks, you, Jane. Ginny. Thank you for listening. Remember V, the old television show?
I do.
They came down and they were
technically reptiles.
They were like lizard people. Yeah. 855-752-4842. Tom from West Dallas, you're next. Welcome, Tom. What do you got?
Hey, couple of quick questions. Hi, can you hear me now?
Yep, you're good.
Hello? Oh, good. A couple of points together. Doesn't the president, I could talk this before, doesn't he swear an oath to the Constitution, and all his sycophants who have to pledge a loyalty test or purity test or whatever to him, isn't it supposed to be and not to loyalty to him? And is there something that if he's pulling all these unconstitutional things, isn't there a way that we could kind of banish him?
Banish him. send him away. Thanks for the call, Tom. Counselor, your thoughts.
You know, banishment is not in the Constitution. There's something called impeachment there. There's the 25th Amendment having to do with your capacity to continue to serve in this role. To take this a little bit higher brow, we've got Article 2, again, establishes the presidency. And we always think about this. The president shall take care, capital C, that the laws, capital L, be faithfully executed. Take care, and beyond just the take care of the laws, take care of America, Mr. or one day Ms. President. That's what we're missing today.
855-752-4842. Eric from Tulsa, you are back. Welcome, Eric. appreciate your patience. We talked a little bit earlier about the Republicans and their projection. What else you got?
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to just say that, you know, let's keep in mind that this malignant narcissist who has no capacity for human empathy is exactly the malignant narcissist with no capacity for human empathy that his voters supported. So what is that? How does that reflect on his voters is the big question I have. And then speaking about Pete Buttigieg, who your voter, you notice those callers are not here today. But speaking of Pete Buttigieg, the way he brings it out, Tom brought this up a bit, him being an openly gay man married to another man, he speaks about him consistently, like the constant during this press conference, it's to basically get people to shift and to get their mental thing to shift from all the feelings about this plane crash to remind them of that hatred they're supposed to have for these people like Pete Buttigieg. And so it's all about dog whistles to the sycophants. The last point I'd like to make is that in doing that about Pete Buttigieg and blaming everybody but themselves, the malignant narcissist is politicizing a tragedy. Correct me if I'm wrong. And who do we always hear saying the exact same thing following tragedies? Mm-hmm. It's too soon. Let's not politicize this. And they took all that time. And the last thing I'll say, less than 2 weeks into his presidency, he is sounding super high. Super high.
Thank you, Eric, for your contribution. It's hard to argue any of those points.
Presidency is a stressful job, as we know well, for normal human beings, right? For people who come in with a conscientious approach to things and with spirit and with energy and intellect. Who knows what kinds of burdens that this president is? We know the burdens are the effects of this, which we don't see
well,
when they go back
to your point. When you have an individual with these column traits, you know, perhaps the pressure doesn't get to him as much because he truly doesn't give a damn.
Right.
If you care too much,
right.
You know, maybe you get some more gray hair and a few more wrinkles.
Right.
If you're up late night doing the things other than, you know, tweeting and getting off on the tweets of blaming everybody else for the administration and the government that you now control. Right.
Barack Obama used to take notebooks back to the residence every night and read through them till late in the night after putting the girls to bed and saying goodnight to his spouse. And this president plainly does not have any of that. And so it's liberating for him, right, to be able to stand up in front of the American people and say anything. You're not tethered to any sense of the truth or the facts. You're not studied in it. You don't know how government works. And the facts can be just completely of your making, as we saw today.
What a world. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvi Show. James Santel coming back. One final segment. If you got something to say, you got to start out with something good. 855-752-4842. Come back with us.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Last April, federal cybersecurity agency CISA issued warnings to election officials on how to combat a Russian online scheme to mislead American voters in the 2024 election. CISA is now under attack by its own administration. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency Act was signed by President Donald Trump in 2018, with part of its mission to protect election systems. It played a vital role in hardening state and local computer systems prior to the 2024 election, supporting state election officials, and monitoring hacking and disinformation campaigns perpetrated by Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. After the 2020 election, it refuted Trump's false claims that the 2020 election was manipulated. Trump fired its director, and CISA was targeted by Project 2025 for a dramatic overhaul, with some conservatives calling for the agency's elimination. Just before inauguration, President Biden issued an executive order requiring new CISA cybersecurity standards be implemented, but Trump immediately revoked it January 20th. CISA's highly qualified director, Jen Easterly, resigned on Inauguration Day. New Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, said in her confirmation hearing, CISA had strayed from its mission by monitoring disinformation. As governor of South Dakota, she refused federal funding to harden cyber systems, calling it wasteful spending. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Last segment of the day with James Santel. If you got something to say, hit us up. Tell us something good. Some of the texters, Steve from Milwaukee, he chimes in. This is a perfect analogy of his presidency, a plane crash of an administration. Whew. That's a tough one. Firing everyone, including FAA people, probably doesn't help either. Neil says a sad commentary for our nation. Certainly. He ends up, though, with great show. Hey, all right. Thank you, Neil. We got some Jim love on here, too, Jim. Everyone loves some James Santel. Something good. Jim, you got anything you want to share? You got something good to end this day with?
I do, although you're going to think this is a backdoor something bad, but it's actually something good. It's an affirmation of what people in America can and should still do. Here's the bad part of it. We've got a nominee who's on Capitol Hill right now for Health and Human Services. His name is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And putting aside the merits of this, his cousin, a woman named Caroline Kennedy Schlossberg, issued a letter to the senators right before the Senate hearings a couple of days ago, and also went online. If you have an opportunity, haven't done this, listen to the four-minute version of this. It's online. When Caroline Kennedy, an American citizen, our former ambassador to Australia, many, many things, talks about the legacy of the Kennedys, talks about the legacy of presidents in America, and comments about how her cousin is completely incapable and unskilled in terms of going ahead. She said, "We're a close family. None of this is easy to say. It wasn't easy to stay silent last year, but my father's legacy, Bobby's legacy," meaning her uncle, "also being tarnished by that. What's good about that? It's good because we've got someone who knows about the qualities of a candidate and who has the capacity in this wonderful nation of us, of ours, to stand up and say, you know what, as difficult as this is, I care about my nation. I'm going to let you all know," and there's more beyond just these comments that I'm just rearticulating here. "I'm going to tell you about how my cousin operates, what his life has been about. I celebrate Caroline Kennedy, for the things that she has said and for the courage that she showed, because undeniably she will be on the receiving end of an awful lot of criticism for doing this, for telling us something that we do not know. We cannot possibly know about this candidate for this job. Hugely important.
Right.
Thank you, Caroline Kennedy, for being an American.
855-752-4842. Aaron, working the board, going to pull you in on this, man. You got anything good to share with our audience today, my friend?
Oh, that is a tough one today. I can't lie. Is. But, you know, we're almost into February. That starts this weekend. And we're still here. So it's not a lot, but it's something.
We'll take every
Valentine's Day coming up soon, right?
Oh, right. A couple of things. Number one, my car is still like 57 degrees today outside, so it was a wonderful day. And not so nearly as philosophical as you, but man, I got some new appliances today.
That is nice.
I've been thinking about this in the entirety of my life. I don't think I've ever gone out and picked out appliances and had them delivered and installed.
They're shiny, they're new, they work.
Every place they either rented or lived in, always had them there, never replaced them. It was always a thing. And Steffi took charge of the, as she normally does. Thank you, Steffi. So when I get home, there's going to be some a new fridge to stock up on.
Congratulations. Yeah. And again, wonderful America, where you can go into a store and give them, I assume, more than a little bit of money.
Right?
And you can get wonderful appliances that cook your food and again, get you up for the following day and get more food.
That's right.
And
keeps the drinks cold.
There you go. Don't forget that part.
And makes all the ice. Yeah, Aaron.
I did just get an air fryer for free because one of my friends is moving apartments and got a second one from somebody else. So I got the old one. So you know what? That's something good.
Yes, absolutely.
And those new are, for you, Aaron, yeah, right?
Those are cool. New for me.
What do we got here? Someone from the 262 chimes in. Love that new fridge smell. You know, I've never had it other than walking into the appliance store. So I'm looking forward to that. Eric, he chimes in. Something good. My kid got straight A's for the first time ever. Nice.
Great job.
Great show in the wake of a national human tragedy. Take care. Peace. Thank you, Eric. Drew wonders, where is CJ today? Mark calling me out for not talking about immigration today. Well, ma'am, today wasn't that day, Mark. Maybe tomorrow. Aaron, do we want to go there, the Schimmel stuff? And that's not really good. I mean, it's good in the sense that it's enlightening. We have just a couple of minutes. If you would, Aaron, play that Schimmel, please.
If the history of the world is as wide as I can spread my arms. That's it, all of it. The part that is freedom is barely a gap. It's barely a spark plug gap between my fingers, right? And almost all of that history of freedom in this world has been us, what we've done in America. There's other places that have had some degrees of freedom, but nothing like here. If we let this go, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, to get it back, there has to be another bloody revolution, because the socialists won't give it up.
What?
They won't walk away. And why on earth would these people be favoring socialism? Why? They know it won't work. We know the answer.
Power.
Follow the money. The
money and the power, right? Mm-hmm. And they, because with socialism, there's a handful of people who have all the money and all the power, and everybody else is screwed.
Mm-hmm.
These people.
These
the
people.
Obamas, they all know which side.
What? The Obamas? Jim, we got 30 seconds left. Your comments on Judge Brad Schimmel wants to be a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, pondering the bloody revolution from those damn socialists as the guy who's getting his checks cut by the taxpayers.
Absolutely. Number one, Judge Schimmel, right now, you misunderstood the face of the planet, because, in fact, there are other nations on the face of this planet who do enjoy freedom. We're not the only ones, and we didn't invent it, but we're moving in positive directions. I would still like to think, second, calling for revolution, not the kind of thing we want from a Supreme Court justice.
Just terrible. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Come back tomorrow. Jim Santel.
Always a pleasure,
host
my friend.
Host of Amicus, a Law Review, playing out on Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. Check his show out this weekend and stick around right now. Pete Schwabba, The Nightlight, coming up next. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, John Dietrich joins us, Journal Sentinel investigative reporter, with his latest piece on gun violence in Wisconsin. It's important. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Recovery crews have recovered dozens of bodies from the Potomac River following last night's mid-air collision between an American Eagle plane and Army Black Hawk helicopter. 64 passengers and crew members, along with three Army soldiers, died. President Trump calling it a dark moment for the nation.
President Trump said his administration doesn't know what led to the crash between the American Airlines jet and the Army helicopter, but said they have, quote, some very strong opinions. He later suggested...
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Recovery crews have recovered dozens of bodies from the Potomac River following last night's mid-air collision between an American Eagle plane and Army Black Hawk helicopter. 64 passengers and crew members, along with three Army soldiers, died. President Trump calling it a dark moment for the nation.
President Trump said his administration doesn't know what led to the crash between the American Airlines jet and the Army helicopter, but said they have, quote, some very strong opinions. He later suggested diversity efforts in hiring at the Federal Aviation